Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune in.
What's going on? Your man Casanova Williams with another Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. First, like I do always, I like to thank everybody for rocking with me, supporting the podcast. You know I haven't been doing it as much as I want to, but life has been life, and guys, I put it as a priority, but there's something that always comes up, and I do apologize. But I needed to get this podcast in. It's 4th of July week, and I had so much going on. You know, I had spent time with my family, had to do a lot of things, but I wanted to get this podcast in as soon as possible. Now, this new song by Young Miami, let's talk about it, okay? Now, you're probably saying, Cass, what does this guy do with Black men's mental health? But you know what has a lot to do with Black men's mental health? Because I believe Black culture mental health is Black men's mental health. Now, you got this song, which is popping. Now, first, I want to say this. I have no problem with these ratchet songs, okay? I grew up in an era of a lot of ratchet songs. Uchi Walla Walla, Put It In My Mouth. We had a lot of ratchet songs, right? So I'm not attacking any artist that want to do something catchy. It's very catchy. Don't get me wrong. It's a catchy song. You know what I'm saying? Spin that shit. You know what I'm saying? It's very catchy. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Young Miami for getting her hit, you know, because everybody was doubting her and talking about her. You know, and I'm never going to hate on a young Black woman that's, you know, getting her success, no matter how it is. So, you know, I'm not hating on that. But I'm hating on, you know, back to what I was saying earlier, because I know somebody's probably saying, damn, Cass, you know, you had a lot of, there's been a lot of ghetto songs that have come out that the Black people have liked, that you supported and stuff like that. Yeah, you know what? Yes, in my time, the 90s. You know what I'm saying? That was really my time, you know, for music, the 90s, you know. You had a lot of ratchet songs. But see, this is the thing. During my time, we were able to appreciate those ratchet songs. But also, we had other songs that balanced it out. We had good R&B. We had positive rap. We had a lot of good things in our Black community that reflected as well. Yeah, I may have liked N.W.A., but we had Commons. We had, you know, we had positive music. We had LL Cool J. We had positive music. So it was a good mixture of things. When you go in the club, you had to put it in my mouth. But then you had the, you know, saying the cool Biggie songs, and we had a very good mixture of music back then. So it's not about, to me, it's not about what, you know, because women always did that type of songs, you know, women and men. So it's not the type of songs I have a problem with. It's just the thing that's all that's out there, and then we shine it as our positivity, our triumphs, our best in the community. You know what I'm saying? When the Grammys have WAP being played, being performed, when you at the BET Awards and the Young Monsoon come out, everybody's like, yeah, you know, to me, it just shows that why are we putting our worst as our best as a people, right? And at the end of the day, let's go to the Black men. This song totally highlights that as a man, I need a hustler. I need a boosted. I need a criminal. We are glorifying men to be criminals. So now these women out here are looking for that type of man because the music is very influential. See, when I was younger, right, we were taught that there was a difference. There was reality and then there was fantasy. There was music. There was movies, right? I remember when I was younger, you know, or when my kids were even younger, you talk to your kids about what they see in movies or what they see on TV. We clearly told them that, hey, that is fantasy, that is made up stuff, none of that is real, don't live your life as that, you know what I mean? And you had to wait till your kid was a certain age to understand that concept, that when they look on TV, that it wasn't reality. Now granted, even in my day, we had some dumbass kids. I remember when Ninja Turtles came out, there was some dumbass kids that were going in the sewers looking for damn turtles. Now So at the end of the day, no matter what decade you go to, there's some dumbass people. So don't get me wrong. I'm not mad about that. It happens. But that our generation understood overall, we understood that whatever music was, whatever, movies or whatever, that was a fantasy. That wasn't necessarily real. You know what I'm saying? Then also, too, let's even go back to music. Yeah, a lot of the people that were talking about it, they did it. You know, we had drug dealers that were drug dealers. See, but the thing was, they were talking about their life. We knew the essence of what they were talking about. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them talking about making it out and getting money and all that stuff and what they used to do. But we understood that even though they were speaking about their life, that wasn't their life no more. And it was just a fantasy. It was them talking about what they did, talking about the things they see. We understood the difference. But today, with social media being so popular, people, the line between reality and fantasy is blurred. I mean, at the end of the day, we have a whole society, generation that is teaching you how to do something, but don't do it themselves. We have a generation of liars that are accepted. I mean, I just spoke about Dr. Brian, the lady that says she's a doctor. You know what I mean? She sat there. She has been proven not to be a doctor, has lied, and people are still messing with her. If that happened back in the day, man, she would have been canceled. It wasn't called canceled back then, but nobody would have been fucking with her. You know what I'm saying? I call this the Rick Ross effect. I knew this started to happen once Rick Ross was exposed for being a CEO and still had a career. I knew that we were cooked as a people, that our culture was cooked, because at the end of the day, we tried to stay real and authentic to what we did. Now it's not like that. Now people want to live the fantasy. People want to live out in this reality that doesn't exist. Like, literally, I understand women have always liked bad boys. So yeah, of course, they were always like the bad boys and street hustlers and all that stuff. That's been common from beginning of the days till now. But we understood that those weren't the people that you marry and you make your man. And you don't turn over the good man. But now with these songs, people are believing that's what it is. There was this woman. Now, she was already a scam artist, so I'm not in any way trying to state that she's an example of a good woman go bad. She was already a scam artist. She got out of jail in January, right? In January, her and her daughter, she even got her daughter involved, went to some stores, stole some Louis bags. And instead of her doing the crime, staying low, whatever, she goes on the internet dancing with the stolen bags to what song? Where are my scamming ass niggas at? Where are my hustler ass ladies? Literally, like, just for clout. See, this is the influence of our society. I know India RE said some stuff that people were getting on her, and she didn't say anything about the song. She said it's a catchy song. It is. It just shows the state and the mental state of where we are as a people, how we react to it. Like, Put It In My Mouth was something that we went to the club and jammed to. You know what I'm saying? We was in our club or our car. Put It In My Mouth. Say, yo, motherfucking mom. Yo, we were in our cars and our clubs jamming. We didn't go to the BET Awards and, you know, we were like, you know, what was it, Academics, whatever his name was, you know, performing, Put It In My Mouth on the BET Awards or on the Grammys. That wasn't, but we didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? That's not what we wanted as a people. You know what I'm saying? That was for the club. That was for the party, the private parties, or your crib, or you listen to your music, or you jamming in your car. But that wasn't for, like, yo, the soundtrack of, you know what I'm saying, of a musical, or you know, I see the Grammy Awards and my man's like, put it in my motherfucking mouth. Yeah. No. You know, there's a place for all that type of music. There's nothing wrong. And I'm being real. And you may say I'm a hypocrite. I don't think there's anything wrong with that music. I think at the end of the day, if you go in the studio and it's catchy and gets the people moving, go with it. So I'm not mad at it, but I'm mad that this is presented as black excellence. I'm mad that we are presenting our worst traits or things that shouldn't be speaking outside the locker room, meaning the black culture. And we're putting it out there to say, this is our best. This is what we got. Yeah. And then, of course, if we're promoting it and pushing it, everybody is going to make money off of it, because we don't make money off of it. So now you got the Grammys and award shows and corporate Americas and all this jump on a bandwagon. putting this out, and now this looks like this is a representation of our black culture. Now, you say, how does this relate to black men? This relates to black men because at the end of the day, if this is what women are celebrating and they're part two, because see, music is a, see, what we don't understand is music, repetitiveness is a powerful thing. The mind does not see, the mind doesn't know things. It knows repetitiveness. And if you are listening to constantly these music, this type of music, you're constantly listening to memes of men ain't shit and this man, this guy, all this stuff that really gets into your head. You can't sit there. It's like waterboarding, right? I always describe things as waterboarding because I think it's the perfect example of the human, of how humans easily break from simple things, okay? Now, if you're not familiar with waterboarding, it is a torture method where they lay you down and they drop they drop water on your forehead constantly at a steady pace, maybe once every, I don't know, second or 2 seconds, they drop a single water drop on your head constantly. Right now, at first, it's nothing. At first, it means nothing. At first, it's like, whatever. It's just a piece of water dropping on my head. I don't even care. But see, the repetitive of it annoys you. It starts to bother you and it becomes unbearable. Now, is that water heavier than any other water? Is the conditions changing? No, at the end of the day, it's just this one constant little spectacle of water dropping on your head in the same spot. But what happens psychologically, it starts to torture you. The repetitiveness of it, it starts to play with your mind and is torture. They call it waterboarding. You know what I'm saying? The water drop thing, you know, and it's constant and it starts to annoy you and you go crazy because you can't stop it. See, same thing about like this. And that's just a little drop of water, innocent drop of water just on your forehead constantly. Imagine music, right? That has frequencies, right? Memes, pictures, voices that are always saying a constant theme of men ain't shit. Men need to earn this type of money. Men need to have the biggest dick in the world. Men need to do this. Men need to like constantly over and over. And it's not only visual. It's not only hearing. It's visual now. It's a lot of other things as well. The waterboarding, the little water thing is one drop just on your forehead. You know what I'm saying? But imagine the constant stimulation visually. You know what I'm saying? You're hearing it all the time. You're seeing it all the time, you know, constantly. So, you know, we don't think that the reason why black men and black women have an issue right now is because this is what they're being fed all the time, that men ain't shit. And we've lost as men because how can we fight? See, because now men are fighting to prove they're not like the men that they've been told that they are. That's what the fight is. And men are tired of it. We're black men. We're tired of it. We don't even want to fight anymore because I have experiences in my life. You know what I'm saying? Recently, where you give love to somebody and they don't know how to be loved. That could be family, friends, relationship. Most women, black women, don't know how to be loved. So when you give them love, it seems like control. It seems like being angry. It seems like you're not being understanding. When all you're doing is loving. All you're doing is showing them real love, concern, but they don't know what love is because they've been in situations where they've, you know, love to them is sex, giving them everything they want, understanding them. They don't understand that love is an exchange. So at the end of the day, when we're in relationships with women, all they know is to receive love, but they don't know how to give it. But then when we call them out on it, we're sassy. We're controlling. We don't really care. We're the problem. And it's funny because when you look at statistically, black men marry black women at a higher rate. They have more successful marriages than women. Because at the end of the day, most black women with divorces are conducted by black women. Now, somebody could say, oh, well, it was because black men are bad at being husbands. That's not true. Because most black men that marry black women don't leave their black women. Most of them aren't cheating because if they were, most of the relationships of why black women leave it would be because of cheating. But it's not. This is statistics, people. This is not me trying to make anything else. Black women leave relationship not because of cheating, because of differences, or they feel like they've outgrown the person, or they want to go elevate. But it's never, it's, most of the time, it's not cheating. Now, you could double check the statistics if you want, but if men were dogs, then women would be leaving because men are cheating, which is understandable. If a man cheats on you, you have the right to make that decision. You're going to stay, work it out, or leave, and that's fine. But women are divorcing black men at a higher rate because of differences. We're not on the same level. I don't feel, you know, I want to do better. I want to move. All this other stuff has nothing to do with cheating. But then we look at black men that are married to black women, that most of them are successful. But black men are the problem. See, most relationships, women relationships, they have the highest divorce rate. Women. The lowest divorce rate, gay men. And it's statistics like that in the black community as well. That's just overall what I just said, but is it like that in the black community too? Why is that? Men, when they're in relationships, stay longer than women who are relationships. But women are the ones that say they always have the problems, and men are the problems. But if men are the problems, then lesbian relationships should be 100% or near it at least, because women know what women need. So when they get together, they fine. But no, you have, you know what I'm saying? Statistically, black men are better fathers than black women. Black women are more abusers than black men when it comes to child abuse. Every statistic is against a woman, but the men are the bad. Black men are the bad. There's no, we earn more than black women. On average, when you look at it, black men earn more than black women. And that has nothing, you know, now they do got us on degrees. They get more degrees, but it's not like a margin that's so different. It's not like a margin that's like, oh my God, you know, I think it's like 53% to 49%, something like that. It's like really minute minority, and some statistics is not even, it's even. So at the end of the day, even when you look at the statistics, black men are not doing bad. Black men are not doing worse than black women. Most businesses are owned by men. Black men, black women are opening businesses. Yeah, they are. They're doing more businesses, but they're not making more money necessarily. So at the end of the day, you got all these women businesses, but they're not making money. And you can't blame it on the gender gap because it's your own business. There's no gender gap in your business. I saw somebody, a meme, not a meme. It was an interview. And I think it was on Rachel Maddow, right? It was a guy, I guess he was an economist or whatever. And she was talking about how the gender gap and women getting paid less than guys and all. And he said, I really wish that your passion for it matched the actual numbers. He was like, on average, men, the reason why women get paid less is not because they're not earning as much, is because they work less hours. They go into careers that make less money. So at the end of the day, those are the two biggest contributing facts to why women don't make as much as men. Has nothing to do with them going on the job and guys saying, oh, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to pay you less. No. Because, you know, are there situations where you could find a job that's paying a man more than a woman for the same job? Yes. But there's jobs you can go and find a woman getting paid more than a man for doing the same job. So at the end of the day, it goes both ways. But there's not this overall bias against women working. We're just not going to know. If they work less hours or they're in the fields that make less money, then that's why, because they try to go overall per capita, you know, people, you know, it doesn't matter. Women still make less. No, but you have to look into those factors, simple economic, social, you know, sociology, things like that. You look into those things, you can see that there's reasons behind these. Now, if the reasons are unfair, then that's where you question them. But if women are going to careers that make less money, they're working less hours than men, then at the end of the day, of course, they're not going to make as much as men. But you can't argue that is unfair. What's unfair, then women should go into those jobs that the men are making higher, you know, you go money. You know, they're not going into construction, electrical engineering, plumbing. They're not doing it. Women are not doing those jobs. Those jobs pay good money. You know what I'm saying? And with all the women starting all their businesses, most CEOs of companies are men. So the problem is not us. They're using numbers that don't even exist to justify their lack of. So the problem in our community is that we endorse lies. Women, black women endorse lies, go after it, and then they support it like it's truth. Back to the young Mansoor, it just shows that what these people are teaching their daughters, what they're teaching young women out here, this is the type of stuff. You know, I saw a video of them, of kids, young ladies, young women, young kids singing this song. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was disturbed by the Sexy Red. You know what I'm saying? How our young women, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with the Sexy Reds and the Young Moms and the City Girls and the Cardi B's and all. Ain't nothing wrong with it, all that. I think we need that. We need that perspective in music. These are great, talented people that can make catchy songs. So I'm not in any way telling anybody not to listen to them or support them. You know what I mean? But the problem is that that's what we look as black exes. That's what we look at as success. That's what we look at as what is popping for black culture. That we are so screwed. And as black men, we cannot argue when there's a song talking about you gotta be a thug and you gotta be this and 6 feet tall, your big dick energy, all this stuff that like we come out losing. Like, you know what I'm saying? They going around talking about a man shitting, you know, even approaching for a day unless he got $300,000 in the bank. Things like dumb stuff. And then you got these simp guys. And this is actually led to the upcoming of simp men. Because now these guys that are desperate for women jump on that bandwagon thinking they're going to get women. So they jump on the bandwagon and talk shit about men, and they get validated because, oh, this is a black man agreeing with us. You got those race bait. You got those baiters. You know what I'm saying? Like Yaya, Yo-Yo, whatever his name is, and Fresh and all these guys that are just baiting and using our culture. You know what I'm saying? Simp guys that sided with women, guys that are just ridiculously over masculine and toxic masculinity. It's just ridiculous what it opens the door because, hey, I could make money off of this. So they jump on a bandwagon and make money. And then back to people believing them, people hearing them, people seeing them. And now as black men, we can't be average. Your penis gotta be at least 12 inches. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, half of the time women can't even take that. But you know what? That's what they put out there. You gotta make 6 figures. Some people don't even think 6 figures is even good enough. You gotta make $1 million. I mean, the bar that you have to be, and these women are looking for these bars, ridiculous. Like, you go out to the club right now, you would see a whole bunch of single older black women. All of them got kids. All of them got kids. They're old as hell out there, fresh off their BBL or fresh off of their time at the spa to look good in the club, partying like they're 20 years old. Shit, at 50, 60, shit, I should be home with your grandkids. Not in the club, but that's where they are. Singing to the young Miami songs. Looking at black men as, oh, you don't give me my money, oh, blah, blah, blah. Thinking that because they are who they are now, that they can't talk to nobody beneath them in their eyes. So they're just out there sleeping with random guys to get their fix because no man, every man's intimidated by them. I mean, it's ridiculous where we're at. And this is what black men are supposed to choose from. Now, are there good women out there? Yeah. But you know what, black men, they are not on the net. Any woman on the net talking or any woman that's following, yo, when you meet a woman, check out what she looks at on her social media. Like, literally, look at what she looks at on her social media. Because I'm telling you right now, if she's looking at all that garbage in social media, she believe that shit. That shit ain't entertainment. You know why? Because if she's talking to you, she should have been married. If you're a certain age and you talk to a woman that does that, don't think, oh, it's entertainment. Nah, she believed that shit. That's why she's single. Run. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Sometimes I gotta check my wife. You know what I'm saying? May say some stuff that I'm like, yo, you gotta pull that shit back, sweetie. Like, at the end of the day, like, don't let that internet shit fool you. What you got here is good shit. And I'm not saying my wife is bad. No, my wife is great. Love my wife. 23 years. We rock it. You know what I mean? But it's easy. I've even had to pull myself back sometimes. I'd be on, oh, what? You know what? And I had to pull myself back to say, all right, you know, let me chill out. Let me relax. Because social media will say some shit. Be like, oh, let me ask my wife this. So let me look into that. And now you're in an argument. Or now you feel a certain way because you're looking at that internet shit. And that's the problem. As a culture, we got to stop pushing. And even my black men, you know, I sit here and I talk about black women. Don't get me wrong. I do. But black men, we got to take accountability as well. We can't feed into that stuff. Because the right woman is going to come to you. She's definitely going to come to you. But avoid all that bullshit that you see online. Avoid those type of women. Yeah, I know the BBLs look good, the butts banging, the titties are banging, all that stuff. But we gotta go for marriage. You know, and we can't be hurt by the girl I hurt 5 years ago. We gotta let that go, brothers. Look for the good woman. Because, you know, there are a lot of good women out there. So there's a lot of good women out there. But they're not gonna be fine in those places. All right, guys, I appreciate you listening to me. Like I said, I've been busy. I've been rocking and rolling, businesses, management, just life. You know what I mean? I just came back from the Chris Brown Usher. We were invited with me and my wife, couple of critics. We were just invited to the first show in Denver, Colorado. Now, that was a whole experience. Go check out the podcast on couplecritics.com. You can check out, you know, we talk about our trip to Denver, Colorado. And have other trips come up as well. All right, guys, I appreciate you. You can check me out CasanovaWilliams.1. CasanovaWilliams.com. You can check me also check out all my reviews and with me and my wife with couplecritics.com. The Culture Radio Network, download the network, get free music 24 hours a day. We have over 20 channels on there where you can check out music from different genres. So check that out and podcasts as well. Go to the www.theCultureRadio.com. All right, guys, till next time.